Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and it is my delight to serve this wonderful, changing, growing congregation. Everyone is welcome here. You're welcome here if this is your first time or if you've been coming for longer than you can remember. You are welcome here no matter who you love. You're welcome here if you came alone or if you came with a group of people. You're welcome here if you like silence and meditation. And you're welcome here if you're wiggly and need to move, children or adults. Everyone is welcome into this loving congregation, no matter who you are and how you're feeling this morning. I have a few announcements. One is that we have coffee hour both downstairs and online. Online, you can click on the Zoom link that is in your order of service that came this morning in your inbox. We also have some fairly significant changes to the order of service, so we ask you to go with the flow, which is a good spiritual practice for everyone. So, the other announcement that I want to make is after the service, when we're all done, we have a group of people who are going to lead us in singing Seasons of Love, which is a great New Year's song. So now is time for you to greet one another. And as you greet one another, I want you to ask each other, what do you hope for in this new year? And try to talk to several people. If you want to continue a conversation with someone, you can do that after the service in the coffee hour. And it's really great if you can talk to someone you don't know. So let's take time to greet one another, and then afterwards, we're just going to stay standing as you're willing and able, and we're going to sing our opening hymn, which is Building a New Way. You may greet one another.
We are working to be free. We are working.
Come forward and light the chalice. If Gil is not here, Paisley is standing here at the alert, and she will light our chalice.
Oh, it is?
Okay. We light this chalice, which is the symbol of Unitarian Universalism, for the human capacity to begin again. Let us say our affirmation.
Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love ourselves and our neighbors.
We have some seats up here for those who are looking for seats this morning. Right here.
I am your lay leader this morning. My name is Alana. I use she, her pronouns. I'll be reading the poem, The Graveyard of My Best Intentions by Maya Stein. Here lies the skincare regime, the nutritional supplements, the bouquet of essential oils, and the clutch of 5K races. May I honor the sugar substitutes and decaf and meditation, however many ounces of water weight equal to my weight. May I please bless the streamlined closet and weekly fridge cleanout and the jars of mismatched hardware on the cluttered utility shelves. May I hallow the broken doorknobs, the chipped plates, the stacks of loose paper listing like shipwrecks, every pledge that's blushed my earnest lips. Oh, fervent oath. Oh, buttery avowal. Oh, honey gaze toward a filmy perfect future. I lay you down amongst these thousand ragged stones. I hold my hand against your tired heart. I say the prayer that lets you go.
This is our home.
this forest, we can feel safe. In this forest, we can feel free. In this forest, we find family. Wherever we roam, this is our home. This is our home.
Seats up here for children who want to come forward, but it's pretty crowded, so you might want to stay in your seat. So our story this morning is This You Begin by Jacqueline Woodson, and it's illustrated by Rafael Lopez. There they are, pictures of them. There will be times when you walk into a room and no one is quite like you. Maybe it will be your skin, your clothes, or the curl of your hair. There will be times when no one understands the words that curl from your mouth, the beautiful language of the country you left behind. My name is Rigoberto. We just moved here from Venezuela. And because they don't understand, the classroom will fill with laughter until the teacher quiets everyone. Rigoberta, from Venezuela, your teacher says, so soft and beautifully that your name and homeland sound like the flowers blooming, the first bright notes of a song. There will be times when the words don't come, when your own voice, once huge, now smaller, when the teacher asks, what did you do last summer? Tell the class your story. We went to France, Shayla says. These shells come from a beach in Maine, a boy named Jonathan holds out a jar filled with tiny shells so fragile they look like they'll turn to dust in your own untraveled hands. My whole family went to India, Spain, South Carolina, each souvenir a small triumph of a journey. Their travels go on and on. And as you stand in front of that room, you can only remember how the heat waved as it lifted off the curb. And your day spent at home, caring for your little sister, who made you laugh out loud and hugged you hard at nap time. You can only remember the books you kept on reading long after she had fallen asleep. And in that room, where no one else was quite like you, you look down at your own empty hands and wonder, what good is this when other students were flying and sailing and going somewhere? There will be times when the lunch your mother packed for you is too strange or too unfamiliar for others to love as you do. Even your own friend Nadja will wrinkle her nose and say, what is in there anyway? And you'll wonder how she doesn't see the rice between the meat and kimchi. You'll wonder why she doesn't remember that rice is the most popular food in the world. There will be times when the climbing bars are too high, the run is too fast and far, and the game isn't one you can ever really play. I don't want him on our team. You can watch. Maybe you can have a turn later. There will be times when the world feels like a place that you're standing all the way outside of. And all that stands beside you is your own brave self, steady as steel, and ready, even though you don't yet know you're ready for. There will be times when you walk into a room and no one there is quite like you until the day you begin to share your stories. My name is Angelina, and I spent my whole summer with my little sister, you tell the class, your voice stronger than it was a minute ago, reading books and telling stories. And even though we were right on our block, it was like we got to go everywhere. Your name is like my sister's, Rigoberto says. Her name is Angelina, too. And all at once, in the room where no one else is quite like you, the world opens itself a little wider to make some space for you. This is the day you begin to find the places inside your laughter and your lunches, your books, your travel, and your stories, where every new friend has something a little like you and something else so fabulously not quite you at all. We will now sing our children to their classes.
Everyone has received a flash paper for today's fire ritual. If anyone has not yet received a little flash paper for the rest of it, please raise your hand and the ushers, oh my, and everyone will get a piece of flash paper. And we will have the ushers bring forth the basket as well as we get ready for gratitude and giving. As you ponder the new year, perhaps the part you'd like to play in our family here at WOOF this year, please consider the gifts that you can share with us to help us grow, keep learning, and provide safe haven for us here and for our greater Portland community. Those gifts may be your voice to the choir, your hands to our food, your ideas on a committee. If they are financial, I ask that as the ushers come forward, you give what you can and know that every gift, no matter what form, is treasured and appreciated. Don't get tired. Keep your hands up if you need the pencils and flash paper. Thank you. You will now rise as we are able to sing Rise Again.
So go ahead and join us. I've got the patience to inhale, exhale. I've got the energy to sing. I've got the strength to keep on going, so I can rise again. So I can rise again a little faster. I've got the patience to inhale, exhale. I've got the energy to sing. I've got the strength to keep on going. So I can rise again. So I can rise again. I've got the patience to inhale, exhale. I've got the energy to sing. I've got the strength to keep on going. So I can rise again. So I can rise again. So I can rise again. So I can rise again, so I can rise again, so I can rise again.
Thank you.
Phone has decided not to play nice with me this morning. It's the second time today. I really should have known. I'm going to read a poem by George Ella Lyon, Where I Am From. I am from clothespins, from Clorox and carbon tetrachloride. I am from the dirt under the back porch, black, glistening. It tasted like beets. I am from the forsythia bush, the Dutch elm, whose long-gone limbs I remember as if they were my own. I am from fudge and eyeglasses, from Imogen and Allifair. I'm from the know-it-alls and the pass-it-ons, from perk up and pipe down. I'm from he restoreth my soul with cotton ball lamb and 10 verses I can say myself. I am from Artemis and Billy's branch fried corn and strong coffee, from the finger my grandfather lost to the auger, the eye my father shut to keep his sight. Under my box was a dress box spilling old pictures, a sift of lost faces to drift beneath my dreams. I am from those moments, snapped before I budded, leaf fall from the family tree.
So our poet this morning, the poem we just heard, tells the stories of his young life, her young life. What stories do you tell about your life? Are they happy stories? Hard stories? Stories of redemption? Stories of sorrow? Stories that you don't tell anyone. We all tell stories about our lives. It's what humans do. It is what we do to explain why things happened and what they mean. We tell stories about how we got our dishes, how we ended up in Portland, how we met our partner, why we broke up, and why we do what we do. We tell stories about why the climate is changing, how racism works, and why our uncle is an alcoholic. We share them with others to create connections, as the girl did in The Day You Begin. We share with others to build commitments to make the world fairer and kinder. Stories tell us who we are. Are we a happy person? Can we do what we ask of ourselves, or do we fail a lot? Do we have bad luck? Do we make poor decisions or good decisions? And they tell us to interpret what we see. They tell us how to act. If what someone storms out of a meeting, perhaps we will tell the story that that person is always dramatic when they don't get their way, and act however we do towards people who tend to tantrum. However, if our story is that they recently had a significant life shock and are struggling and tender, we will behave very differently towards them. Our stories do not have to be conscious to make a difference in how we behave. This is an important reason that therapy, or sharing with people we are close to, helps us by uncovering the deeper stories that affect how we feel and how we act. In the book Pathways of Possibility, Rosamund Zander tells the story of a man whose father discovered him picking flowers in the garden at age 3. "That was a stupid decision," his father yelled. The man accepted, right then and there, at age 3, that he made bad decisions. And this became a part of the story of who he was. He didn't even know that story. He didn't even know that he thought that. Instead, he just acted it out. He was a very cautious person. And this kept him from getting promoted. Only when he remembered the story and realized that his father was probably mad about something else entirely, and it had nothing to do with him, did he start making more confident decisions. He didn't have to work at this change. It simply happened. And that is how powerful our stories can be. Which brings us to New Year's resolutions. We make resolutions because we believe in the cultural story of personal agency. We believe we all have personal agency to make things happen. Well, maybe not all of us, but many of us. And our culture has some pretty specific ideas about the best way to live. We are told what to weigh, how much to exercise, and how much to save for retirement and a rainy day. We are told to have good relationships with our family and friends, and that education is essential. We are told that success is defined through job titles, salaries, the kind of house we live in, the cars we drive, and the vacations we take. We are told we should feel happy and content and not suffer very much. If we suffer or are sad or are angry, we are told it is our problem to solve. It's no wonder people make New Year's resolutions. That is a lot to get right. And most of us are typically not doing what we think we should or our society tells us we should. And it's not going to surprise you that the New Year's resolutions for 2025 are to save money, eat healthier, exercise more, and lose weight. If we just do everything perfectly, we are told, all will be well. We will have money, health, long lives, meaningful relationships, and thus we will be happy. If everything does not go well, we can't find a good job, or we get cancer or estranged from someone who matters, we can easily beat ourselves up for our decisions, for not sending out enough resumes, for not eating right, for losing our temper too often, and similar stories about how we screwed it up. Or maybe our stories are about how they screwed it up, which doesn't help. So we get frustrated that we can't forgive or let it go. Even if you do not make New Year's resolutions anymore, most people have at least some commitment to self-improvement. That is the story. What we have agency to perfect our lives. And this infects most of us. Nearly all human stories fall into six story arcs, which can be summarized in two ways. The first set of stories are contamination stories. They tell about something bad that happened, and that's where they end. We went on vacation and the whole family got stomach flu. We were traumatized as a child, and the pain still haunts our life. Our mother died of COVID. These stories are about disasters, personal failure, how others hurt us, and general unfairness. Other kinds of stories are redemption stories. Something bad happens, but it results in something good. So, for example, a story one often hears is about someone who got cancer. They learn about the importance of family and community and slowing down, and thus they have richer lives. Or someone suffers the pain of divorce, but then finds their soulmate. Or someone was betrayed, but out of it came an understanding of both their courage and their strength. In a redemptive story, we are shown how suffering and hardship can lead to good outcomes. There is always a silver lining. So we choose, and it can either be consciously or unconsciously, what stories we tell and whether we frame them as contamination stories or redemption stories. So my childhood included several traumatic events, and I have had enough therapy that I know every one of them rather intimately. While knowing and understanding how these events affected me has been essential for healing, I sometimes wonder if the frequent repetition of these stories has not served me well. I remember the difficult parts of my childhood best of all, and don't remember so often all that was great. And a lot of it was great. My brothers and I had the run of nearly 200 acres where we explored and played with no adult supervision. We had goats and chickens and pigs and cows. And I have to apologize for all your pets, current and past, but we also had the most perfect dog that ever lived. And this was all pretty wonderful, and it shaped me too. Changing the stories we tell and how we tell them can change our lives. Telling the story of how connected I was to nature as a child has led me to my commitment to better relationships of humans to the non-human world. Processing my traumas and how they made me feel so unworthy has created a lifelong passion for hospitality. Stories that end with greater meaning and a more positive ending make us feel happier and more capable. We need stories that remind us of times we acted in ways that felt good and provided meaning. We need stories about our capacity to overcome difficult things, and other stories that remind us that the next thing that happens is unforeseeable, and it can be wonderful as well as tragic. Changing our stories can be very difficult, though. They are so ingrained, both in our unconscious and our conscious mind, it's hard to see how they could possibly be different than they are, because a lot of times we think the stories we tell are the absolute truth. So the first step in changing our stories actually is noticing them. Like this story we have of human agency in this culture. Well, we do have agency. But a lot of times other things happen that we don't expect and have nothing to do with us that can make our lives either better or worse. So the next step, after we sort of notice the stories we tell, is to explore whether they serve us. And to look where we actually had power in that story, power that we've sort of neglected to notice because it was so awful. And how in those stories we were living our values. If we feel the situation was our fault, or we didn't live up to our values, we can choose to move forward and learn from both the chaoticness of life and from our own mistakes. The hard part is when situations in our lives do not feel they could ever be redeemable. They are hard, and they are heavy, and they weigh us down. And maybe they truly aren't redeemable. But sometimes redemption can even be more simple. They come in the sharing of our stories. Sharing can lift weight. It can offer us space in our lives. We know from the work of Brené Brown that when we feel shame for the past, sharing with a lovely person can clear some of that internal ugliness. When we share our shame into someone who loves us, we can learn that we are still lovable, even when we utterly screw up. And sometimes telling our story can build allegiances, like it did for the girl in The Day You Begin, that fuel a passion for justice and fairness. Today, it is the beginning of the new year and the day of our annual fire ritual. In this ritual, we will burn what we no longer want and need, and we will also write some intentions for the new year. We all have things we've been carrying from this past year, or maybe years or decades, that we wish we could just set down. Maybe it is a story that we are ready to let go of, ready to see in a different way. Or maybe there's stories that you would rather tell about your life. Or maybe there's stories that you are ready to let go of always keeping them private. Or maybe today you have a habit that you wish you could release. A habit that has been weighing you down, that controls you in ways that you are not willing or don't want to be controlled anymore. So we're going to take a few moments just to listen to ourselves. Pay attention to your body and to your lived-in experiences. What feeling is there? And what else is there? As you feel yourself in your body, what is something you are feeling like you're ready to set down? Things you feel ready to say, this has got to stop. Those things that would make it really hard for you to move forward on the journey you'd like to take in this new year. habits or feelings or stories about yourself or about your life or about others or the world we live in. Maybe something which you've asked yourself or others have asked you, why are you still carrying that? So for those of you who are here in the sanctuary, we will come forward and we will use our flash paper to burn in the candle. So the first thing I want you to do is to take your pen or pencil and write on the little tiny piece of paper, which is our flash paper, something you want to get rid of. So you might just have a word. If you are at home, I ask you to get a pen or paper as well as a bowl of water. You will use a drowning thing instead of a fire burning thing. I mean, if you want to burn fire at home, I ask you to be super, super careful because you don't have flash paper and other paper can really get out of hand. So once you have some clarity about what this thing is, I want you to write it on the paper you have. And remember, nobody's going to see it except you, the flame or the water and the universe. So I'm just going to offer you a minute or so of reflection and writing before we move on. So I'm going to ask you to come up one row at a time. You're going to go this way and come down this way to put your paper in the flame. I don't have one piece of paper myself, so I cannot demonstrate this to you. So I'm asking a brave person to come up, and I will show you how easy this is. All right. Put it in the flame. Yes, you can just let it go, actually. You can just let it go. See? This is flash paper. It flashes. So you can just let it go and drop. Yeah. So you want to come show? So just put it in the flame and then let go. There you go. All right. It's pretty fast. So as you are standing here letting it go, I want you to just feel the release from your body. Actually, just release whatever it is in your own body as you let it go. Let it center and ground you. Let that flow into the earth. Let it burn in the fire. Let it go. And as we begin this ritual, we will be singing Open Our Hearts. The words will be on the screen. Karen's going to lead it. And we will sing it many times until we get pretty tired of it. And then Betsy will just play some music until we finish with the ritual. So you can start here and go down the thing.
Open my heart to
To come forward if they wish to burn their papers. So we're going to move into the future with an intention for the new year. We'll take a pause, a consideration. You've burned what needs to change. But what new step in your life calls you towards the gift of a new beginning? So let us pause now, acknowledging the turning of one year to another. Just breathe into your life, the breath into your life, the center of your life, the call of your life. From that place, begin to set an intention. This is not a resolution with its very narrow goal of perfection. An intention is more an invitation for how you want to be and with whom. How you want to respond to the gifts and the challenges of this life. For each of you has gifts. And we know there will be challenges. We all have personal agency, but it is imperfect as we are. And the world and other people are never anything we get to control. But we can lean into an intention which can flow and transform and open us. So what will bring you most alive give you hope and direction and the capacity to love larger. So we each have another sheet of paper. And I invite you to write your attention down. You might begin with the words, I am, or I seek, or I welcome. And these are for you. And you don't need to share them with anyone else unless you want to. So let's take a couple of minutes for you to write down an intention for your year. So these intentions are for you to keep. And I ask you to put them somewhere where you run into them, like your junk drawer, or your purse, or a cupboard in your bathroom that you only open sometimes to get toilet paper, somewhere where you're just going to run into it and then remember, this is my intention for this year. Let me take a moment to lean into it, to remember. We will now rise, as you're willing and able, to sing the inspirational hymn, Turn the World Around. Our chalice, but not the light that it represents of our faith. And let it stay burning in your hearts until we meet again. And now we will turn the front to the back, and we will sing our closing hymn, Carry the Flame.